there's a lot of speakers, but we came from the TUC last week, and it's safe to say that all is not well in the relationship between the coalition and the unions, and I think things are going to get more rocky as the months go on. I read a survey last month that most of the electorate think that the budget did with the cuts. Actually, they've got a huge shock. And as the cuts bite and as the cuts affect the most vulnerable in society, the mood will change and the public will become more receptive to the argument, which was strongly put at the TUC, that there is an alternative. Now, ATL enjoyed a very strong working relationship, as the NASUWT did, with the previous government in social partnership. It was a unique partnership where the Secretary of State ceded power over paying conditions of employment to a partnership involving the unions, the employers and the department, and the result was a partnership which lasted 7 years. It achieved huge things. It achieved a national agreement on working, what teachers should be doing and reducing working hours. It achieved national standards for progression in the profession. It created a complete new career structure for teachers and very much more. And of course we had difficulties and policy differences with the government. ATL, our particular policy differences were over the curriculum and assessment. But there was a huge area of what teachers did, how they did, and focusing teachers' attention on teaching and learning through contractual changes over a period of 7 years, which was agreed. And indeed, the government and the unions gave and the employers gave joint evidence to the SDRB over these issues. So it's a very, very strong partnership. Relationships with the coalition thus far are very different. It's not a return to Thatcher. The government has made it clear that it wants to talk to us. But in this engagement, the government sets out the agenda, decides the remit, decides the membership, and the unions are outnumbered quite severely by the employers. It's clear that the government has an ideological agenda which it's determined to implement, and it is doing so without proper engagement or consultation or even listening to the voice of the profession articulated through unions. And it's cost the government this inability to listen. One of the reasons for not over 1,000 but just 32 academies starting in September was that the most routine questions could not be answered. And head teachers are telling me this repeatedly. Routine questions could not be answered. For example, a head of a federation, his school was outstanding. He was federating with other schools, won his special measures. He couldn't get an answer. Could all become academies or could it only be the outstanding school? And other fundamental issues like what should consultation look like, who should you consult with, what would be the consequences for not consulting properly, simply weren't answered. So there's going to be more of the same, and I fear that the relationship between the government and the unions is going to get more and more rocky. And if a very, very moderate union like ATL is saying this, then I think things in the garden are not rosy. Now, it didn't have to be this way, but it was perhaps inevitable because the Tories and the Lib Dems have no real history of engagement with the unions, although David Lawless, Shadow Education Secretary, was brilliant at keeping in touch and reading the brief and reading the research that we did. And the result has been this lack of consultation, this lack of real engagement, has been an affiliated unions campaign among the education unions against schools becoming academies and against the free schools policy, which has been unprecedented and which has been a huge success. We know that we're in it for the long game. We've only just started. But all of the three teacher unions in particular are devoting massive resource, both in person and also in terms of money, in order to oppose a key government policy. We believe this, and we're doing this because we believe the government's got it wrong in very fundamental ways. And its policies, its education policies, are largely a result of confused thinking. So I've put down two key questions which I've repeatedly asked the Secretary of State and which I repeatedly did not get an answer, and that actually breeds frustration. Okay, the first one is, how is the system going to deal with unfilled school places? If you have academies and free schools being set up, if every time a school is threatened with closure, all it has to do is to apply to become an academy, and a local authority has no locus in the allocation of school places and how many is needed for an area, how is the system going to pay for this? At our conference, the Secretary of State, Michael Gove, and as it said, well, we're going to cut down on bureaucracy. That will leave more money to go to the front line, and that will give us more money to have unfilled school places. We know that's simply not the case. We know with the scale of spending cuts that that is simply not going to be the case. So that's a fundamental question which repeatedly is unanswered. And the second question is an ideological one. We want to know, because we are frankly baffled, about a key contradiction in the coalition government's policy. You say you want less government control and greater autonomy at school level.